right. We've now been joined by our race-winning team, race winner Kyle Larson and crew chief Cliff Daniels for today's Wise Power 400 at Auto Club Speedway. Congrats, gentlemen, on another victory and checking that box of the NASCAR playoffs so early in the season. We'll start with questions for Cliff or Kyle. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get to as many questions as we can. All right. Let's start in the back with Justin, and then we'll work our way forward.
Justin Schuler, kicking the tires. First off, congratulations, guys. Tell me about this new car now. We've had it at a super speedway. We've had it at a short track. Now we've had it at a two-mile oval. It seems like it was all over the place, and all Joey Logano had to say about it was that it's edgy.
Yeah, it's definitely edgy. It was, I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. I thought dirty air was going to be really bad behind people, and it didn't seem way worse or different than normal. So that was encouraging. I thought the runs were equally as big, if not bigger, down the front stretch. Restarts were still crazy. So yeah, I thought it wasn't way different, which was good for me anyways, and probably for us drivers. And then you have the part where, yeah, it's on edge, where if you get a little bit too stepped out, you spin. So you have to be aware of that and your aggressiveness on the restarts, and trying to work on your balance a lot. So we did that throughout the day quite a bit. We had runs early on where we'd be tight, and then the next run we'd be loose, and then we were able to kind of narrow that window down there, it seemed like around halfway, and that's when I felt like we were gonna have a decent shot to win. So yeah, fun race. A lot of hard work by everybody on our team, and proud of everybody's effort.
All right, we're gonna continue with questions up front. Samantha, if you can come here. All right, we'll go to Jeff and then Bob, and then I'm gonna work my way around the room. So
yeah, for Kyle, what was your take on the contact that you had there with Chase? What happened there?
So I didn't get through 3 and 4 very well. Joey did a good job on the bottom, and then you know, we were side drafting each other, and I'm not even looking in my mirror at that point because all I'm worried about is Joey, and I'm looking out of my A-post window, and I had a run, so I went to peel off, and as soon as I peeled off, my spotter's yelling, outside, 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 and I had no clue he was even coming. So, yeah, I mean, I hate that I ended his day after they worked so hard to get back to the lead lap and back in contention to win, and but I mean, it's just an honest mistake on probably both of our faults. I should have had more awareness in my mirror. My spotter could have told me he was coming with a big run, and we would have avoided that mess. I would have probably not been side drafting on Joey as hard as I was. I'd have been more so protecting on Chase than worrying about Joey. But it happened, and I hate that it did. I know that they're upset, but we'll talk, and hopefully we'll get on the same page. I would never run into my teammate or block him that aggressively and that late on purpose.
And then I think Jeff Andrews has said that maybe you had a conversation with Chase or somebody after. No?
No, I went and talked to Alan. He and his guys were in the garage working on their car. So I walked over there and talked to him, said, hey, we'll take our share of the responsibility. They're great teammates. They always have been. And I know we're all good teammates together. And like he said, that's nothing that he would ever do intentionally. And that's a tough racing deal. I don't blame Chase at all for trying to make the what could have been the race-winning move. And he just told his side of the story. Obviously, they had an amazing recovery on the 9 team today. So to see that get cut short is really tough for us as teammates because, you want all 4 teammates to run 1 through 4. So unfortunate, but I know that we will all get together and be on the same page.
All right. We're going to go to Bob.
This for Kyle. How easy will it be to get on the same page? Is this just a bump in the road? Their radio was pretty spicy afterward. And when we saw the spin, you're like, did he do that on purpose? Like,
I didn't ask that.
And he said, and Chase said that, that the toe link broke again for the second time today. So I'm just kind of from the outside looking in, it looks like it could be something hard to get over. So I'm curious from the inside, how would you feel?
I honestly just told you guys my side of it. So, I'm going to tell him exactly how I told you guys and he'll take it for what it is. I'm sure he'll still be upset, if we're on the same page or not. So, it's just a conversation that we'll have and we're both young. We both respect each other a lot. So, we'll both be racing for wins for many years to come. So I'm not too worried about it. I think if anything, it's probably a small bump in the road. I think if things happen more so in the future, then yes, it gets out of hand. But you know, Hendrick Motorsports, I don't think we'll ever let it get to that point. And like I said, we have enough respect for each other that I don't think it will get out of hand at all. And we'll just have a conversation, and I'm sure it'll be fine. Like I said, he's going to be upset, which he has a right to be, but I'll explain my side just like I explained it to you guys, and he'll believe me or he won't.
All right, keep your hands up because I've got a few. All right, let's go up front, and then I'm going to try to work my way around the room. Go ahead.
Richard Haight, Sports Life Magazine. Question for Kyle. Yesterday, Austin said after qualifying, he had to talk to himself to convince him to do certain things. Today, you said it's a little edgy. You guys have the same feelings that it's still coming to grips with it?
I think, at least for me, I think having a lapse in the car yesterday, kind of you get yourself calibrated to that. And today wasn't as nervous as it was for me yesterday. But also, I mean, they made some good changes, I feel like, overnight with the overall ride quality of our car, which allowed me to have more confidence in what was going to happen with the race car. So that probably also helped quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, I just had a couple moments throughout the day that, you know, I thought that I got close to spinning. But other than that, I felt like it was a fairly normal handling race car for me.
Getting better, though.
What's that?
Slowly getting better.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just keep working on the car, and we'll get it better ourselves, even without having to make rule package changes, I'm sure. So just every team's trying to learn quickly, and I got Cliff, you know, leading our team, and you have all the confidence in the world of him and Adam and everybody at the shop and here at the racetrack to keep building on what we have.
All right, go ahead, and then we'll come forward.
Hey, Kyle. Jonathan Field, theracingexperts.com. You know, comparing the dirt car to the next-gen car, what did you notice today?
The dirt car?
Yeah, just like driving the dirt car, were there any similarities in just the handling characteristics with the next-gen car today?
No, I mean, dirt car, I mean, you get sideways, you can control it. So this still feels like a stock car to me. It's just has, you know, a lot less side force feeling to me, and it just, you have a lot less room to catch it when you do get a little bit yawed out. Where before you could get yawed out and kind of it had so much side force and such a big spoiler, it'd kind of drag itself back straight. So now you get past that point, it just snaps fast. So it's drives like a stock car.
All right, next question right here.
Hey, Kyle, you saw kind of a lot of guys get into trouble today when they tried to be aggressive or, you know, make a certain move, get into tire trouble, car trouble, what have you. Where do you think you're able to kind of find a sweet spot in terms of, you know, pushing the pace, but also, you know, kind of staying out of a mess and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think just having good awareness of, you know, what line you were in and anticipating the grip you're going to have on exit. There was a couple people who spun off of four trying to be aggressive on the throttle to clear up in front of people or clear and tuck in line, and then they'd, you know, get a little too far over the edge and spin. So you just kind of had, for me, I tried to be aggressive on entry but as conservative as I could be on exit to make sure that I wasn't going to spin or have to bail out of the throttle and kill my momentum. So I felt like there was restarts that I did a good job of that and restarts where maybe I was too conservative. But until you learn more about the car, it's hard to be too aggressive.
All right, we're going to go over here. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Alan Basso-Yahe, Eagle Broadcasting. You know, starting position today wasn't as desirable as you would have liked. How did you get the job done when, you know, basically the entire race was an adrenaline-fueled fight from start to finish?
Yeah, thankfully, I mean, the races are so long that if your car is good, it doesn't matter how far back you start. We were able to get to, like, 12th pretty quickly. So I was very pleased with that. I wasn't sure with the unknown of dirty air and stuff how hard it was going to be to get to the front, but myself and Joey were able to drive up there pretty quickly and then just had to adjust on our car from there. We put ourselves in the game from early on and just had to kind of chip away at it and make good decisions both on the pit box and behind the wheel. And we were able to do that today and execute a very good race.
All right, we're going to go to Kathy. Go ahead.
Congratulations on your win today. Just a quick question. There was an observation during the race where it seemed like drivers who had some experience on dirt they were running better. Did your expertise in the dirt have anything to do with you starting in the back and working your way up to the front?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Joe Logano got to the front quicker than I did, and he grew up in Connecticut. I don't think they have any dirt up there, so I don't think it matters. I mean, maybe they get snow and ice and up there, right? So maybe he's got some time on that. But yeah, again, that's not really dirt. So no, it doesn't matter. I think you're just reading into it a little bit too much.
All right, we're gonna come up front to Jeff, and then there's a few more. I'll try to get you guys to.
The battle with Suarez there. How'd you come out ahead on that one?
Yeah, he. That was a tough restart. I had Joey behind me, and I knew I was going to have to fight him off. I hadn't really spent much time around Suarez, but he had told me that he was pretty good on the short runs. So, I knew I was going to have to fight him off, was hoping that I wouldn't. But Joey was so good, I felt like on the short run, that I was more worried about him through one and two. And I peeled off to the middle, and he was able to run a lot of speed and get close to my outside, and I kind of had to throttle up to make sure that didn't happen, and then it got us kind of choked up off of two, and Suarez had a good one and two and a really good three and four and got by me, and I led through three and four. They got a good push behind me and got clear into one, and then he went to the bottom again once we got to three and four the next time by, and I'm not sure if he got tied or loose or what, but his momentum was killed off of four, and I was able to get a good run to get by him. And then Austin, I hadn't spent much time around him either, and he seemed to be good on the short run of the bottom. And I just knew I felt good on the bottom throughout the race, but I knew being the leader, I was going to have the best shot of protecting any runs coming from behind me if I just ran, up top and kept my speed wound up. So was able to do that and get to the white before there sounded like there was a crash and get the win. On the front stretch?
Yeah. Didn't you pass him on the front stretch?
I got below the apron about start-finish line. That was more just to kind of get away from any side draft that he might be able to pull, and thankfully I was able to get far enough away from him to have enough momentum to get clear in front of him and then run the lane that I needed to run in one and two. Yeah, so no, it wasn't any more aggressive than normal.
All right, real quick, before we take our final two questions, does anyone else have a question for Cliff? Okay, Justin, we're going to ask your question, and then Cliff, you're good to go. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I saw you all alone up there, Cliff. So we've heard from Kyle about this new car a lot. So I want to get your thoughts as a crew chief, because you're the one making the adjustments, you're the one making the calls. So what are the biggest things that you've learned now that we've been, again, on a short track, super speedway, now on a two-mile oval, we're going to this West Coast swing with our typical mile and a half, and then Phoenix, which people call a short track, but it's a mile-long track. But, what's the biggest things that you've learned, and then what do you anticipate going into those two races?
Yeah, really nothing carries over from last year, even kind of the concept of how a race would go. The Coliseum really had no tire fall off. We had substantial tire fall off here, which, yes, we always do, but it was completely amplified. Daytona even itself raced a bit different. I think you would agree that it wasn't, if you tried to go at Daytona and move around in the draft, the lanes were just kind of stuck two by two, and there wasn't, a whole lot of momentum to be gained or spots to be gained. And then the way the race played out today was almost like old school Darlington. You run 10 or 15 laps, somebody blows the tire, hits the fence, you pit, and you had 12 sets of tires, and I think we used all but one. Our car, for whatever reason, was on a really fine line of a balance adjustment. Like, it was a very, very small adjustment away from being comfortable to being one side or the other of the coin of balance, which is obviously something that we will get to work on, as we get more reps with the car. Just to get it more comfortable for him and more consistent that it's not, so broken up run to run. Luckily, we did kind of hone in on it at the end. So to directly answer your question, obviously I illustrated a lot of different points there. I think it just races so different that a lot of the concepts that you would bring as a crew chief to call a race into like a short track race or a specific intermediate race, it's all different. It's unique to itself. And it's going to be my job to be a student of the game and try to make sure we do it right every week. I don't see, no, not really. Just because last year, you know, when you think about it, the 550 package itself that we ran at most of the intermediates, we look at percentage of lap time fall off. I would say your average intermediate was probably 4 to 4.5% of lap time fall off. Today, I think was 12 over the run. Even California, so this race in 2020 was probably in the sixes. So you're talking double the fall off of what we had with the 550 package the last couple of years. And even then, you can almost run a full fuel run without somebody blowing a tire or having an issue. We never even got close to a full fuel run today. What was the longest run today? 19 laps? 20 laps? Totally different landscape for how to call a race.
All right, Cliff, we're going to let you go. Thanks, bud. Okay, next we're going to go here.
Hi, Kyle. Brendan Martin, The Rich Report. One of the big things about this season, obviously, the brand new car, the big thing about it is parity and how it allows, you know, teams to operate a lot closer in a sense. And that comes off the heels of a very dominant season that you just had last year. Was there any concern that with the switch of the car that, you know, this, you know, that wouldn't be the case this year? And does getting a win early on in the season kind of rectify that pressure in that instance?
Yeah, I mean, I it definitely feels good to get a win early on the year because going to a new car, you don't know if you're going to win or not. But I mean, you have confidence in your race team. It was neat today to see some guys who don't typically run up front and contend for the win. The 8 was dominant today. The 43 was super impressive. The 99 there at the end. Austin Dillon and their team did a good job. I look at it as, you know, Chevys were really strong today. Chase Briscoe and their team was really good at one point. So, yeah, it was you had some more players or some different players, I guess, than you maybe would have had in the past. So that part of it's neat to see. I think that'll probably change as we go along with the season. But for right now, it's pretty cool to see.
Sort of like even out more so as we get through the season, like kind of just what you said?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, who knows? But I think your teams with more resources and more people and more engineers and stuff like that will still – have the edge over the other teams, even though we're all kind of racing the same car. But we'll be able to build a notebook, hopefully a little quicker than others, and you'll get back to dominating like we did last year.
Thank you.
All right. Kyle, thank you for your time. Congratulations again on the win.
Thank you.